Let's open in our Bibles to the second chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter number 2.
In this chapter, the overall theme is establishing just who Jesus is as he began his ministry, public ministry here on earth. There was confusion and misunderstanding. Last week we saw through the healing of that man that was born of four, brought by four, and let down through the roof. We saw that many thought Jesus was just another healer. But Jesus let it be known he came to minister to the sick. We want to move on in the chapter, beginning in verse number 13 this evening. Mark chapter 2, verse number 13. We'll see some others who have a misunderstanding as to just who Jesus is. Verse number 13 of Mark chapter 2 tells us, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass that, as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many. And they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Father, we thank you for this account in the ministry of Christ on earth. And Father, as we just spend a few moments in it tonight, we ask that you would bless us. May your Spirit speak to us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have a very familiar occurrence in the life of Christ. At least that concluding verse is familiar. The fact that Jesus came not for those that are whole because they have no need of the physician, but those that are sick. But leading up to this, we have a fairly interesting account of what took place. In verse 13, it tells us that he just went out to the sea again and taught. We'll find Jesus teaching, though not so much his teachings, in the book of Mark. Jesus is very concerned to teach the Word of God and to teach the message of God and the gospel of the kingdom to all those that he was able to come in contact with. I think too often, unlike Christ, we spend time talking about sports, and I don't want to talk basketball in case you're curious. I don't know who won that thing, but in case you're curious, it's Michigan and Indiana. If Michigan wins, we are in a four-way tie for first. If we lose, Indiana wins the Big Ten this year in basketball. But anyway, we spend a lot of time talking about a lot of things, but how much time do we spend teaching about the kingdom of God? Now, this is a situation where we're all called to do it. This is a circumstance that every Christian, just because we're Christians, are expected to take the gospel message and the Word of God and teach it to anyone who will listen. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be overbearing and overpowering with it, and so much so that people don't want to listen to us about anything anymore. We can find a way to do it graciously, and we can do it kindly, and we can still get the Word of God in. I know some preachers will say that, having never been there. But as you know, I was about 11 years out of Bible college before I went into the ministry, working in a print shop with people that, well, when my dad told me that they were hiring, he told me that they hire people out of the gutter. And that's the kind of people I worked with. And I didn't have to compromise. I didn't have to be quiet about the Lord. They knew who I was. That's why I had the name, the nickname, Preacher, or the Rev, is what they like to call me. They knew what I stood for. And yet I still got along with just about all of them. You can do it if you're just kind and gracious and live a consistent life before them. Jesus was always teaching, always sharing, and so he's doing it again. Although I believe on this day, that teaching was secondary. I believe Jesus had an appointment that he wanted to keep that day. But before he could get to that appointment, he needed to spend time teaching on the seaside, so that he would be coming back from the seaside and back into the city on that well-traveled road where the tax collectors would set up their booths. And they would collect taxes on anyone who was bringing anything of any value into the city. Now, the way the Romans operated their taxation system, they would subcontract the taxation out. And whoever could promise Rome the most got the contract in that city or in that region. And so here we have Levi, otherwise known as Matthew, and the writer of the first gospel, sitting here at the receipt of custom. In other words, he was a publican, a tax collector. He was an outcast in Jewish society. He was the scum of the earth in their eyes. You couldn't get any lower than to be a publican collecting taxes for those hated Roman soldiers or Roman government, in order that they might continue to dominate the promised land, the nation of Israel. And as Jesus walked up the road, he apparently, from the looks of this, it was just a very casual occurrence, and he looks over at Levi or at Matthew and says to him, simply, "Follow me." And what's amazing is the response of Levi, because a tax collector was a very lucrative position. And we even see that emphasized in verse number 15 when it talks about Jesus being at meat in his house and that there were publicans and sinners there. And it says, notice in the middle of verse 15, many publicans and sinners. There weren't just a couple. There wasn't just a handful. God says there were many. And then as we move on in the verse, it talks about Jesus was there with his disciples. And then after the word disciples, it says, for there were what? A handful, there were a couple, there were a few, it says again, many. And so Matthew or Levi had a large home, which was very unusual in that time frame and in that period. Only the wealthy had a large home, and so Matthew, as a tax collector, probably was making out quite well. You see, they promised Rome a certain amount of money in taxes, and then whatever they wanted, they put on top of that, and that's where their income was. And so they might agree with Rome at 10%, but they might be collecting 25% and keeping that 15% for themselves. That's just the way it was. And you can understand now why the Jewish people hated them so much. Not only did they work for the enemy, but they also were cheats and liars and thieves. And so Jesus says to this one who's a publican and a tax collector, the scum of the earth, the outcast of society, he says to him, "Follow me." What a surprising move on Jesus' part. We would think, in our earthly common sense and our human logic, we would think that Jesus would pick someone better than that to represent him, someone better than that to carry the gospel of the kingdom out into the society in which he lived. We would think that Jesus would at least get an upstanding citizen of the community. Not necessarily having to be wealthy and rich, but just someone that others respect as an honest person. Someone that others look up to or at least don't look down at. But Matthew was none of this. Matthew was a liar, as I said. He was deceitful. And he was looked down on by all. And yet Jesus says, "Follow me." Just as amazing as the fact that, as it tells us here in Mark, he, speaking of Levi, arose and followed him. Now, if we would read the same account of the call of Matthew in the book of Luke, we would see that he left all and followed him. With Mark's account, we might think that Levi went back the next day to his tax booth. We might think that he then continued on with his career. But Luke makes it very clear that when he followed Jesus, he left everything behind. Now, what's interesting is Matthew wrote one of the longer Gospels. Luke is the longest, but Matthew is second longest. It has the most chapters, but Luke has more verses. But throughout Matthew's Gospel, Matthew never talks about what he left behind. Now, the reason I say this is way too often when I hear someone give their testimony about how they got saved, as they got saved later in life, and we all are attracted and drawn to these types of testimonies for some reason, someone will get up and they'll talk about how their life was before Christ. And they'll wax eloquent and they'll go on and on and on about how wicked they were and how successful they could have been and how rich they could have been if they had stayed in their vocation. And then they say, and I left all of that for Christ. They didn't leave anything for Christ. They gained when they followed Christ. And I think Matthew understood that right from the very beginning. Now, he didn't gain wealth, did he? He was wealthy. But as he followed Christ, he found that Christ didn't have anywhere to lay his head. They found that Christ didn't know where his next meal was coming from. He was on the road traveling all the time. That doesn't hardly sound like a good career move for Matthew to lead the tax collector to follow Christ. But as I said, throughout all of Matthew's gospel, never once do you get a hint that he felt that he left anything behind. He realized he had nothing to leave behind, and that Christ gave him everything, and that to follow Christ was nothing but gain and nothing but success. But what a challenge that is to us. What have we carried along with us in our Christian life from that old life? What baggage do we have from the world that weighs us down and keeps us from serving Christ effectively the way He wants us to serve Him? What is it in our lives that we should have left behind long ago, but we've continued to drag with us? Levi understood that you have to leave it all behind. Just as it tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Unfortunately, too often we don't let those old things pass away. We keep refreshing them. We keep reviving them. Even though they're dead, we revive them and we allow them to just weigh us down in our Christian life. Levi didn't do that. He left all and followed Christ. And verse 15 is quite the testimony as to the change that this man had. As he followed Jesus, the next thing we find is that he's walking close enough to Jesus to invite him over for a meal. And not just Jesus, but all his disciples. And they sit down and share that meal together. But it's interesting to notice who was there as well. As I mentioned, there's publicans and sinners, many of them. The outcasts of society have been invited to this meal. Now, these would be the only friends that Levi could possibly have. And if you were saved at a later age and you got into the wrong crowd, you understand that friends really aren't friends. How we understand friends in the Christian realm, in that world. But nevertheless, this was the closest thing that he had to friends, and he wanted them to hear the good news as well. And so he invites them to the meal with Jesus. He could have limited it just to Jesus and the disciples. He could have limited it just to Jesus for that matter. But he opened his doors and welcomed whoever would come in to come in. Now, in the next verse, we're going to see the scribes and the Pharisees. They're standing outside seeing what's going on inside. We don't know if Matthew bothered to invite them. But if he did invite them, there's no way they would show up. He just simply gave the message to whoever would listen, extending the invitation to whoever was willing to come. And that's the way it ought to be in our lives. We can't get picky about who God wants us to witness to. If God sends someone in our path to witness to, we need to share the gospel of Christ. We don't know what's going on in a life, and they may look rough, and they may look like they're a dangerous individual to come in contact with. But if God has crossed paths, then you have an obligation to be the light of the world and to be the mouthpiece of God and share the Savior with them. These publicans and sinners were certainly no one you would want to have dealings with if you're an upstanding citizen of the community. But Matthew invites them all in. And I have to imagine, though we're not told, but I have to imagine that Jesus didn't just allow the conversation to be pleasantries. I'm certain Jesus would have had a mission in his mind and that he would have shared the gospel of the kingdom with these individuals. But in verse number 16, we're introduced to these scribes and Pharisees who were watching him. They saw him eat with those publicans and sinners. And they didn't have backbone enough. They didn't have the integrity enough to take it up with Christ. Instead, they went behind Jesus' back and began to talk about him to the disciples and to question them about what in the world was he doing there. If he's such a great holy man, such a great religious man, why is he eating with publicans and sinners? Because according to their law and according to their religion, they distanced themselves. Now you have to appreciate their separation. They did everything they could to live a separated life. The only problem is they separated so far that they separated themselves from the very sinners who needed to hear the gospel message. They forgot that they were sinners in their religion. And that's where the problem comes in here. They forgot that one day they were no better off than these. And they probably were still in that condition because they're probably lost. I think that's the implication of what Jesus says in verse 17. When he talks about they that are whole have no need of the physician, he's talking about these scribes and Pharisees. They thought they were pretty good because they kept to their best knowledge, not just the Ten Commandments, but all over 600 laws contained in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law. They did their best to keep them all. Now they didn't, but they thought they did. Their religion was nothing more than a list of do's and don'ts. And they thought that gave them favor with God. And in the doing so, they were lifted up with religious pride and forgot that they too were sinners. Jesus goes on to say in verse 17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so Jesus just lays it out there, doesn't he? If we don't realize we're a sinner, we'd never get saved. But what happens is after we get saved and we begin to live for Christ and we begin to put off some of those old things and put on some new things like we're supposed to, sometimes we forget that we're just filthy old sinners saved by the grace of God. So that when we encounter a filthy old sinner not saved by the grace of God at that point, sometimes we act just like these Pharisees. And we look down our noses at those filthy old sinners not saved by the grace of God, thinking that we're better than they, thinking that we're smarter than they, thinking that we enjoy God's favor more than they and God's love more than they, but we don't. And so if we are like Christ, we realize that He came to minister to the outcast. He came to reach those that were the outcast in society, those that were just dirty, rotten, filthy sinners, in order that they might be saved and claimed from the devil's domain. But these Pharisees, as they looked at Christ at this point in time, they thought He was just another sinner, never realizing that He was the Son of God, their promised and looked for Messiah. And so, who do we think Christ is? We just need to be careful that we never get into the Pharisaical pride as to who we are in our relationship with God. We've always got to be able to love the unlovely and reach those that are in need whether the world loves them or not. God does. And so we must as well. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for your word. And Father, just help us to learn the lesson of your heartbeat for the lost. Whether they be good people or whether they be outcasts. Father, help us to reach all that you send us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.